Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Hour number two today, as we roll deeper here into the afternoon, John Dickinson and Alan Stiles in on this Thursday for Damon and Ratto. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to give us a call or shoot us a text here as we're with you for the next 3 hours at 95.7 The Game. Great show for you. Randy Cross is going to join us. The 49ers legend, former guard and center, three-time Super Bowl champion. He's going to come up at 3:30. And then the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, at 5 o'clock. So we look forward to that as we continue to roll here in the afternoon. Asking a couple of Warriors questions just as far as the Dubs now 18-18, 3-0 in this homestand. Do you feel like the Warriors have turned a corner with the young players emerging here in these last three games as competent role players? Because I think that's the difference, Alan, between the beginning of the year. They tried to use them as role players. Mm-hmm. They really weren't having much success with it. I think they essentially went away from all of them in their own way. They went from 3-7 up to 13-11, and then the injuries hit, and the Warriors are in a bad way here for a handful of games, trying to figure out what they're going to do. Steph goes down. They're on the road where they can't win a game anyway. But as the time has gone on here, they've been able to, really by necessity, put the young players in positions to where they have to play, and they've been more successful on this homestand. So do you feel like you've seen enough, I guess, in essence, to think, hey, they got action as far as this team moving forward here?
They got a little bit of action. They don't not have action, but I wouldn't say that they have action quite yet. I do think, JD, that going back to the road trip and how that didn't end quite as great as the Warriors would have hoped, to say the least. Specifically, you know, talking about the Steph injury and things like that, that did allow the young guys to get some playing time. And yeah, they were getting smacked, but they were getting, you know, some time. And we might be seeing the fruits of that labor right now. You know, we might be seeing them playing more comfortable because it's been a good amount of games, some of that being because of blowouts and things like that. But there have been a number of games where the bench players and the young guys have gotten in early and gotten in often. And I think they just feel more comfortable, and they have to find a way to tap into that when the Warriors are fully loaded, because nothing changes from what we said yesterday to today. Even though they got this W, you're still trying to climb out of a hole.
No,
you're still trying to get out and get back to, you know, 500 at least, and see what you can do after that. You're not there yet. So you have to continue to play that way. And even when, I think the one positive thing that we can take from the Warriors' slow start and the fact that now they got piled on with injuries is that now they know that this could happen at any time. Now they know that nothing is promised in this league, even if you are a defending champ. And as much as you love the culture and you love all these things, you got to win games. That's what it comes down to. So you can't you can't drop games you're not supposed to drop. If we're looking forward, JD, to the rest of this season, there are certain games where, okay, this team is just matched up better than us on this given night because we don't have so-and-so or whatever it is. There are going to be games where, hey, this is more of a flip of a coin. If we're not on top of our stuff, this team could come in and surprise us. Then there are games that you should just absolutely lose. I think most of those games are going to be the two latter options. The problem is at the beginning of the season, you drop games in from that third option. Games you have no business losing.
Yeah, and mostly healthy, too.
I mean, mostly healthy.
Right.
Now they know we cannot just roll the ball out and play. I do think there was a little bit of that returning, you know, repeat champ.
Definitely.
Varsity swag. And I'll do you one better.
They wanted to coast. And exactly. You know what they found? They found that they couldn't win games in Orlando and Charlotte and Detroit coasting.
I didn't love, and look, I don't know that.
Hit him in the ass, frankly.
I don't know that Dub Nation will agree with me on this because I love the idea of what Clay did, but I'll be honest with you. When Clay got into it with Devin Booker and he kept doing the four and then Draymond got into it, I didn't love that. You know why? Because that season's over. We all know you got four rings, Clay. You're supposed to be trying to get another one this year. And for Devin Booker, you were lightweight getting cooked a little bit.
Well, that was the first, I think, turning point.
Yeah.
You know, really. I mean, I guess that was the first Phoenix game, right?
Yeah, they got smacked by him twice.
Yeah, they got, I'm trying to think, but the first one was the first one where Clay got kicked
first
out
First one
of?
Was when Clay got okay. kicked
and
out.
And then the second one was the one where Clay was so bad that they had, and really everybody was so bad. I remember because
that was a 50-point game, I think, from Steph.
Yeah, he scored 50, they lost, and then that was the one where they had the team meeting. And Draymond addressed some things and asked Bob Myers if he could talk to the team. And really, that was the turning point for Clay, because mm-hmm. that's when I think Draymond basically told Clay, in so many words, you're being selfish, focus on the team, take better shots, relax. And Clay played much better really up until and through the Boston game before they went on the long road trip and everybody got hurt.
Right. I think that it's better to get this lesson early in the season, the later in the season. You cannot rest on your laurels and everybody's going to say, oh, the big bad Warriors are in town. Here's a W. That's just not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
888-957-9570. Let's get to the phones. We got a couple of people that want to squawk with us here on a Thursday. Let's go to Duck Sauce in San Jose on 95.7 The Game with JD and Alan Stiles. What's up, Duck Sauce?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Enjoying the show. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
A couple things I just wanted to say is one thing is I don't think we need to panic, really, is not so much what the Warriors are at this point, but it's more what the Western Conference isn't. I'm going up and down the list of these teams, and not a single one of them put an ounce of fear in me in our seven-game series, not a single one. I think they're all flawed or unproven or both. So it's allowing us to kind of tread water, even though the team hasn't looked what we want them to look like. I think if we can just get to eight guys and then sprinkle in Iguodala as a ninth, if you know, granted he can give us something come playoff time. And I think we got seven. Like, DiVincenzo's the seventh, and Kuminga's getting close to being that eighth guy. And the last thing I wanted to say was just on Kuminga himself. I'm just super proud of how he's able to navigate himself into more of almost making Kerr have to play him, because for a while his situation was kind of reminding me of the Eric Paschal situation, where he was kind of a tweener, stuck between a three and a four, even though their games don't remind me of each other's, but the situation did. And we all know Kerr has this thing about, you know, staying ready at all times because you never know when you're going to play. And even though I agree, as a professional, you do got to stay ready, that's not an easy thing to do coming off the bench when you don't have a defined role. And I just think he's made incredible growth in the last couple of weeks. And if we can get to eight guys plus Iggy, I like our chances. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for the call, Duck Sauce.
No, I agree. The tweener thing is tough because you have opportunities to, I guess, find a role and stick to it. But if you're good at this and you're not as good at that, it does make it tough. I do feel that the more reps these guys get, it'll start to reveal itself. And ultimately, if it doesn't reveal itself, it's going to be a tough time. Now, the same thing goes to Eric Paschal, who's still around, he's still in the league, but he never really was able to figure out a role for himself. So again, with these guys being out, and we know Wiggins is coming back again, and obviously you're going to get Steph back. So I do think that the opportunities they're getting now, you have to just take advantage of it, because in this league and in life, really, you can't take anything for granted. You just got to take your opportunities and make the most with it.
Austin in San Jose next up here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Austin?
Hey, JD, what's going on? Hey, Alan, how you doing, man? Listen, enjoying the show. A couple things. Alan, real quick, man, Caruso, I watched him a lot. He was the Lakers, and, dude, I would trade DiVincenzo in a second to get Caruso.
Well, would you, but the text was DiVincenzo and Moody. Would you do both?
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, yeah, that's maybe a little different. Yeah, I'm saying Moody, let's be honest. I mean, I like those, but everybody, I think, is a little bit too in love with him. He's not special. He's just a role player. I don't think he's the kind of guy you worry about. If you can replace him. I think Kuminga's really the only one of the young guys that I really get too concerned about in the short term. I think Weissman's way too far off. I think he's a couple years away still. Moody's just a piece. So, yeah, I would think, listen, man, Caruso can play, man. He can do all phases. He can dribble. He can guard. The Lakers made a big mistake getting rid of that dude, I'm telling you right now. So, I would. He's a much better player than Dante DiVincenzo. That's just my opinion. That. And then last thing I got for you guys is, and a question for you, JD. Let's say they're 5 games up, out of 500. Let's say they're 5 games up at some point around the turn, or going into the second half of the season. Do you think this team, even at 5 or 6 games up, is good enough outside of the 4 or 5 core guys? Do you think this team constructed is good enough to make a push deeply into the playoffs? My answer, I'm going to let you listen to you. My answer is no. I think they still need to do something in the trade deadline. That's for me, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Austin. If they get to 5 games over 500, a little bit past the midway part of the season, I would be inclined to say yes at that point, because they would have shown a hot enough stretch to where they could go from 4 or 5 under to 4 or 5 over. Like, that means you're basically playing 10 over. Mm-hmm. And their best stretch of basketball to this point has been 10 and 4.
Right.
So it's not even, like, that's 6 over, right? So you know, it's funny, like, you get to 3 or 4 under, and all of a sudden you go 10 and 4, well, you're only like 3 over at that point. So it doesn't really, yeah, you've been playing much better. Like, it took that from where they were at 3 and 7, they were 10, then they went 10 and 4, they got to 13 and 11. But not to get lost in the weeds on all the numbers and all that, but I think at that point I would be inclined to say yes. Mm-hmm. they can, because they would show a high level of play that we haven't seen yet, and that's sort of what, you know, my thing has been with this team is, if they're going to make a deep run, we're going to know it. Like, it's not going to be, like, it's not just going to be, oh, 3 and 7, and then 10 and 4, and then 2 and 7, and then 3 and 0. Like, it's been to this point to add up to 18 and 18. That's literally how they've gotten. And then it just kind of, oh, they play a little better. And then there's an adjustment period when guys come back and they don't play better. And then Steph comes back and they get it all locked in and they do play better. And then maybe somebody else goes down and they don't play better. And it all adds up to 43 and 39 or 42 and 40 or something like that when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And there was never really that stretch where you're like, okay, this team's got action. I'm not inclined to say that they're good. That they can win it at that point in time. So
yeah.
To me, there's a level that we haven't seen yet that we're going to have to see, which is attainable, I think, if they're healthy. But to me, it's not going to be a question. Like, if they play the next 36 games the way that they've played the last 36 games, I'm going to say no. I don't think they do have enough. But if they do play better, I'm kind of with the previous caller that said there's one more little veteran piece. I'm not sure how you acquire it. I look at the Caruso thing, not to ramble about that, but I did look up his contract. He's got 2 more years left in his deal. You know, that's, I'd be inclined to maybe make that move, because I don't think DiVincenzo is a long time player here. Like, I think DiVincenzo, if he keeps playing as well as he's played, he's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, he's gonna go get a higher money contract. Like, he's not here to be a high money player this year.
Yeah.
But he's a young player that hasn't really gotten paid at a great extent. Like, he's not some vet that's made $100 million mm-hmm. in his career and he's, you know, good with making the mid level. No, DiVincenzo wants to go out and get a $50-60 million
right.
contract.
Right. He
somewhere.
Has not gotten his big bag.
And, you know,
yet.
And then maybe another $30 million contract after that at some point. And then he becomes somebody that can start taking minimums and mid levels mm-hmm. and things like that. So I think that worked out for the Warriors this year, given some of the injuries and issues that he's had. So I'd be inclined to, if you could do that Caruso deal, I'd be inclined to go do that Caruso deal, to be honest. And I'm kind of with Austin on Moody. It's because we've talked about it. You don't want to trade somebody that you think has a high end ceiling for a role player. But right. if you're trading a young player that you think is a role player for a role player, like that's actually kind of a, and I don't know that the Bulls would do that, but that's the kind of trade that I'd consider if they'd be willing to do it.
Well, I know the reports are out about Zach LaVine not being happy with the Bulls.
He makes a lot of money though.
Well, no, I'm not saying for the Warriors to get him. I'm saying the Bulls might be a step away from, we talk about tweeners, they might be a tweener team. Right. And we don't really know what we're doing. You got DeRozan, you got Zach LaVine, but we're not really going anywhere in the East. The Bulls might want to just scrap it and say, we don't want to just sit here and lose in the first round every year. Let's move off of these guys, which in that case, Caruso would be available. And the Warriors might have to think about doing that deal based on, you know, how Austin so eloquently laid out, and we're learning about the contract details as well. Ultimately, that's a move. And going back to what the whole over 500 situation, five games over 500. Basically, if they do that, then we'll know, okay, they have an opportunity to make a run. You're going to have to make a run at some point. If what you said, JD, if they play like this the next 36 games, they might be in they're just in the play-in anyway.
Sure.
So, well, what are we talking about, right?
And at that point, I'm not going to say two play-in games and then four series as an underdog.
There's a limit
to
everything.
You can win. I'm not saying you can't win the play-in tournament to get in and win a playoff series, win two playoff series, but we're talking about winning four. Like, I think there's a...
On the road, all
there's a there's a depth that I think you have to make it through that tournament. I mean, I go back to, and look, you could say, hey, the Warriors are an all-time great franchise with this core, and you're not wrong by saying it. I get that argument, but I look at the lowest seed to win it, the Rockets,
right,
as a sixth seed. No play-in tournament back then, but in 95. The one thing that people forget, because it was a long time ago, but that season, the Rockets were the defending champions. Okay, so they were, I think, a two seed in 94, one or a two seed in 94, won a lot of games, won the title, beat the Knicks in seven, won the NBA championship. They come back the next year, they have injuries, championship hangover, all that sort of thing with this, basically the same team. Like Vernon Maxwell went nuts and like went into the stands and like got suspended for fighting somebody in Portland, and it was kind of all bad. And what they did was they made a trade in the middle of they traded for Clyde freaking Drexler, and they traded for a Hall of Famer
right
in the middle of that season, who obviously had ties to Houston and went to college there, played with Hakeem, all that stuff. But at that, they went and got they went and basically got a dude at that, you know, still in his prime, getting a little bit older, that hadn't won a ring yet and wanted to help him get over the top. Like, they went and got a dude. And from the sixth seed, they were the sixth seed because of the team they were
at the beginning
without
of the season.
Clyde Drexler.
Right.
Once they got him and Kenny Smith, they got everybody on the same page. Robert Horry was on that team, a young Robert Horry. They started, then it was like, all right, they ran the table and they beat both one seeds, and then the two, they beat the three, the two, and the one in the West, and beat the one in the East with was young Shaq and Penny. But what I'm saying is they did something dramatic.
Right.
It'd kind of be like the Warriors going to get Durant in the middle of the year.
Right. It's not your typical, who is the last team that was just who they were as a six seed, no changes, no big changes made, that won the whole thing. That basically, they were disguised as a six
seed. Like, they went and got a superstar.
Right.
In the middle of the year.
On the Xfinity Mobile text line, the 707 is saying, for all these people wanting trades, how many teams have won NBA titles via midseason trade? Well, there's one.
There's one, and the other one is when Rasheed Wallace went to Detroit.
Right.
And he helped them win that year. Like that, those are the two that come to mind. I might be missing a couple.
And those are two big deals, right? So I guess to the 707's point, I guess I would say, well, what is, depending on what the deal is, would dictate whether I would do it or not. Because if you're saying it's Moody and DiVincenzo for Caruso, sure, that's fine. You could do that deal. I don't think anybody is talking about giving up Kuminga for Caruso or anything like that. So
no.
As long as it's, you don't really think it's going to affect the longevity of this team, like you said,
but and
like
we talked about. You have Caruso for two more years,
right? And DiVincenzo was going to price himself
and
out.
And DiVincenzo's gone, and you got to defend. And I think he's a complimentary. I mean, he could be defensively kind of a Gary Payton,
mm-hmm.
like. And he can make some shots. He's an energy guy. Like, to me, he plays well with Poole. He plays well with Steph. Plays well with maybe not Clay, because he's not really a ball handler necessarily. But he plays fine with Poole and with Steph. And he could play. He could be in your finishing lineup. You could play him. You could play him with Steph, Clay, Wiggins, and Draymond, and mm-hmm. Caruso. That could be your finishing five. That can, you know, do a little bit of everything. So I, again, I know we're speaking hypotheticals. But it's that's one I kind of like if that player was available. I don't know that he necessarily.
I believe the caller is here on the Xfinity Mobile text line. I included Moody in the trade because Chicago needs to have incentive as well. No, I agree, and I think you don't have a choice. You got to give him somebody. Just giving him DiVincenzo. Everybody knows he's on that deal that he's going to want more money. So you have to give them something. Hey, this is a young guy who has a bit of a ceiling. He can do some things, and you can mold him to whatever you want him to be. If that's enough for the Bulls, that's the question as well.
Let's get a couple of callers in. We got Randy Cross that's going to join us at 3:30. Polo in Redwood City joins the conversation here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Polo.
Hey, how y'all guys doing, man?
Good.
Hey, look, hey, I want to see this dude, James Wiseman, get this run. Whenever they sit their starters, Klay Thompson, Wiggins, and Looney needs to get that rest, too. He needs to be in that lineup with Draymond Green running in the fast break and see what we can get out of Looney. Why the starters are resting? Because only way he going to get good is he's playing. If he's not playing, he's not learning. I'm sorry. I need Wiseman in the game. Producing.
Appreciate the call. The flip side to that is he hasn't produced when at a level that warrants him playing that much. And, you know, flat out, I don't want to speak for Steve Kerr, who's going to join us here in about 90 minutes, but I think the belief is that if Wiseman was playing that much, the Warriors would have very little chance to win most games, especially without Steph. And the other, look, rat on the table is Wiseman doesn't play well with Steph, and doesn't play well with Steph and Draymond, and that is a problem. Like, if you can't do that, then you can't be on the floor significant minutes.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And I've said that I think it goes both ways. I think that the core has never had to play with somebody like Wiseman, but at the end of the day, it's a bunch of Hall of Famers, and it's a young kid who we believe to have a ceiling. I just don't think we went down the LaMelo track yesterday, and we're not going back down that track, but just in terms of, did this all make sense? Was Wiseman necessarily set up for success? I'm not really sure, but at the same time, I think that they believed or they hoped they were getting somebody closer to a polished player than what they actually got.
Well, and it goes back to, you know, as far as, it's not time to panic. Like the other previous call, it's not time to panic, but this team needs to win. Like mm-hmm. this team is not, oh, guys aren't playing. Like last night's a perfect example. Guys aren't playing, so just run everybody out there and mm-hmm. Wins and losses don't matter. No, they got to win every freaking game they possibly can right
You're
now.
Not good
I know
enough.
Most people
You're
disagree with that. And look, it's not catastrophic if they do take an L here and there. Like, they're going to take an L. They're probably going to lose a couple of games on this homestand still. Probably two. I would say probably two. Maybe not.
No.
We'll see.
Only one.
We'll see. But at this point, they got to win. Like, the goal, like, yes, you're trying to play these guys. You want to see more of them, but you got to be able to win as much as you can. Let's get Vince in San Jose here on 95.7 The Game with JD and Allen here in for Damon and Ratto. What's going on today, Vince? How are you?
Hey, JD. Hey, Allen. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. What's on your mind?
So I absolutely agree with what you're saying. The Warriors need to focus on winning right now. I'm a true believer in you play like you practice. And, you know, I was listening to a couple of guys yesterday, and they were of the belief that, you know, the Warriors can kind of just roll into the playoffs either as a play-in team or, you know, I think the Warriors are set in to be a fourth or third seed team, and they can still play competitive, and they can still get themselves into a respectable place, especially with everything that's going on with the Western Conference right now. Look at what's going on with the Suns. My other question, fellas, is Klay Thompson sitting back-to-back nights, I'm extremely frustrated that Klay cannot play at a more, at a higher, I'm happy with his level of play, but I wonder, you guys got Kerr coming up pretty soon. You know, the Warriors need to win every single game they can, and they need help from Klay. What do you guys think about that?
They do need help from Klay, but he played 38 minutes in the first set. Like, I said this to Steiny when I came in here. We were kind of BSing during one of the breaks with him and Evan. Like, if there's a player in the history of the NBA that you would think, hey, he's never going to play a back-to-back the rest of his career based on the injuries he's had, it'd be Klay Thompson. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, I get that you want to have him out there. And look, I got a couple of questions jotted down for Coach Kerr about Klay, and we're up against it, but, like, it's just part of the deal that he's not going to play back-to-backs in all likelihood.
At least for now.
At least for now. And it sounds like there has been a shift on that at some point. All right, 888-957-9570. We'll keep the Warriors conversation going, but we'll break off of it for just a bit as Randy Cross, the 49ers legend, joins us. We'll talk some Niners as they take on the Raiders, and we are sponsored by the Golden State Warriors.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, moving along here on a Thursday afternoon. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles were in for Damon and Ratto on this Thursday. It's a pleasure to be joined by 49ers legend, three-time Super Bowl champion, Randy Cross, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Randy, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Doing really well. I know there's a lot of Big 8 fans out there, or Big 12 fans out there. They just can't wait to see that Stidham-Purdy rematch.
That's a good call. And, you know, one of the big questions coming into this week is, you know, how do the 49ers kind of keep their edge? I mean, Purdy's played, obviously, at an extremely high level for San Francisco. You've got the Raiders, you know, going a different direction, basically firing Derek Carr with two games to go as their quarterback, who's been there for nearly a decade. But how do the Niners keep their edge in these last couple of weeks here, where the division sewed up, but they can move up to two, but two doesn't get you a bye anymore like it used to. But an extra home game can be beneficial as well, Randy. How do the Niners keep their edge these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you got to play to your standard. I think that's the most important thing. You know, it's not like it's changed, because the goals are still the same goals, and you got to change your play. Has got to be at that same standard. Now, if you have a chance with some of your starters later in the game to get them out and get some other guys in, then great. But you know, I think the playoffs in the NFL are littered with teams that have gone into the playoffs coasted and gotten smacked when they got in the playoffs. So you play every game, no matter whether it matters to you or not. But you got to play it at the same level. I think they're fine with that. That's what they're doing. That's what they've done for the last 8 weeks. I mean, they're the one team in the NFL nobody wants a piece of, and I think the reason nobody wants a piece of them is they game in, game out. They play the same intensity, everything else. So, yeah, you wouldn't want to see a sudden, you know, relaxation, because that's never a good sign out of a football team.
You know, Randy, I'm curious your thoughts on, of course, this whole Brock Purdy situation, because I think a lot of people have been saying, well, this isn't a QB-dependent offense, and it's not like he's being asked to be Mahomes or Josh Allen, anything like that. I think it's getting close. It's getting close to where it's starting to sound like people might be maybe not giving Purdy enough credit, at least maybe nationally, not so much in the Bay Area. Can you speak to what you've seen from Brock Purdy and just, I mean, literally how tough it is? I don't care how QB-dependent or independent an offense is, to step into something as the third stringer and to not see a drop-off, what that means for Brock Purdy and what it does for this Niners team.
I think the number one thing for not only for Brock Purdy, but for all Niner fans is, take a chill pill and enjoy what you're seeing. Don't, you know, it's never been quite good enough. Jimmy G goes to the Super Bowl, goes to the NFC Championship game, can't wait to have Trey Lance in there. Trey Lance gets in there. Oh, he got hurt. And then Garoppolo gets back in there, and he's missing wide open guys, and he's just not a long ball guy. Enjoy what Brock Purdy does, and don't worry about what he doesn't do well. The kid, what he doesn't know, would fill the Smithsonian Institute. But he's having so much fun. You can tell just by watching him. And Kyle Shanahan and that coaching staff are doing a really good job getting him ready to play games. So, you know, that's the one thing I plan on doing for the next X number of weeks. Is just enjoying what I'm seeing, and I'm watching a great defense. And what's the downside? You're going to run the ball, and you're going to play great defense, and your quarterback's going to be able to hit wide open receivers, or, you know, make some pretty spectacular throws on the run. I don't know. It's way too early to start, you know, changing the entire direction of a franchise because a quarterback's won, you know, a handful of games in a row. But man, you just gotta enjoy it and know you've got three guys that can take you to a Super Bowl. And you know, there's a pretty short list of teams out there in the NFL that can say the same thing.
Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game, and you know, it's interesting because, you know, coming into this season, one of the big questions, obviously, it was going to be Trey, and then Jimmy wound up being the backup, and then, you know, Purdy's is in there somewhere. I mean, he won the backup job, at least according to Kyle Shanahan, before the, you know, everything came together, and Jimmy didn't have a spot, and they restructured everything. But, you know, one of the next biggest question, I think, on the 49ers roster was offensive line play, other than Trent Williams, who's going to the Hall of Fame, and we all know how great he is at left tackle. What have you seen as far as just the Niners' offensive line, in particular on the interior, to where they've been able to hold up and be successful at the level that they have been to allow everything else to function as the season has gone on?
Yeah, I've loved watching what they've done. I've been impressed by Banks. I think he watches a little bit of 71, and he's got a little bit of that dog in him too. And then the guy that's been, to me, kind of fun to watch, and it's always fun to watch, you know, Williams, he's amazing. But McGlinchey has played pretty damn well. And you almost look for everybody but the left tackle to make mistakes, and they're just not making that many mistakes. And you're getting that running game going, and they're covering people up. And you know, it's not all just going to your left. In fact, that run last week was spectacularly blocked. What was it, 60 something yards? And I mean, you just don't see plays like that very often. Yeah, I mean, And granted, you're going to come up against some pretty tough defenses, and sure, but I think they are, they're good enough to go as far as that you want your team to go. The big thing's going to be just healthy. If those guys, especially the guys up there on that offensive line, if they can stay healthy, the D-line stays healthy, this is going to be a team you don't want any part of in the playoffs.
You know, Randy, Nick Bosa, to me, should be Defensive Player of the Year, and I don't think that's a unique take. I think a lot of people feel that way. If you were still playing today, how would you try to stop Bosa? If that's possible.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. The way that he plays, and I hope people kind of appreciate what they're seeing, because I played with a guy that I think was the best pure pass rusher ever in Fred Beam. He had the techniques. He was just unbelievable. The effort with which what sets Bosa apart is he can go so hard for every damn play, and that's what wears an offensive lineman out. That's what there are offensive tackles in this league that, yeah, a good amount of the time they can block Bosa. The problem is he's going as hard on the first play as he is on the 60th play. And, you know, it's that wears an offense out, that wears an offensive line out, that wears a quarterback out. And you've seen it in some of these last few games. Those quarterbacks are starting to, and they may not say they never do, and they don't look down, they don't look at their pass rush, but if Bosa's coming at you from whatever side he's on, you're really aware of where he is, because they're just not stopping them. They're slowing them down on occasion, but they're not stopping them.
Well, and then the Niners get a lead in a game, and it's just, you know, the turnover factory comes, right? Like, he starts heating guys up, and they start throwing it quick, and the strip sacks come, and that's where the Niners have turned some relatively close games into blowouts. I want to go back to Purdy for just a second, Randy, and just get your thoughts on what surprised you most, his ability to hit the plays that are schemed up, because I think that was the bane of at least from the fans, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's existence. He was good, but there'd be three or four plays a game that Kyle would scheme up that should be explosive plays or touchdowns, and he'd miss some of them, and everybody would pull their hair out. Is it Purdy's ability to hit those plays, like the Kittle touchdowns from this last week, or is it the escapability, the off-schedule stuff, the ability to, oh boy, there's a rush, let's play a little backyard football and still make quality throws?
You know, I think there's a lot of people out there, or maybe not in the Bay Area, because I don't imagine there's exactly a multitude of Iowa State booster groups in the Bay Area, but this kid was pretty damn good in college. And, you know, the problem is when you're at a smaller school and you're not in the SEC and you're not in the Big Ten and you're not in Oklahoma or you're not at Texas or you're not, you know, you don't get noticed as much. But he did a lot of the same stuff when he was in college. And that's, if you're surprised about anything with Brock Purdy, I think it's the fact that he has taken his game and he's transposed it into the NFL. And most guys can't do that. The stuff you get away with in college, you don't get away with in the NFL. And, you know, I think he's smart enough to know that. He's smart enough to adapt. But he's also doing the stuff that he's always done well. He's incredible on the move. And, you know, if you make a mistake, he's going to see it. And that's all you can ask, you know, out of a quarterback. I'm really interested to see what happens when this regular season is over and the playoff starts coming around, and you know, teams are starting to say, oh, what are we going to, I mean, it's playoffs, is this kid going to be different? Is he going to tighten up? You know, are we just going to go after him? Are we going to treat him different? We're going to go after him and make him beat us. And that's what he did in college. He beat teams. Iowa State obviously didn't win, you know, 11, 12 games every year, but they won a lot of big games. And that's the kind of style of play that he always had.
Randy, you know what it takes to win Super Bowls, you know, and when we talk about this defense, the Niners defense, and this word that gets thrown around, historic, do you think this Niners defense could definitely not the Raiders defense. Do you think this Niners defense could be historic? And is it just as simple as to be considered historic, you have to win a Super Bowl and go down in history?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to cheapen anybody's efforts or anything, but, you know, what was the best Chicago Bears defense they ever had? Was it 84 or 86 or maybe 85 when they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, same with the Giants, with LT. And you start thinking about the great teams, you win championships. It's not, oh, well, that defense was the best I've ever seen. But if they only had an offense, they could have been okay. Well, you know what? Most of the defenses are the best you've ever seen didn't need a damn offense. Look at the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, look at Tampa. Look at, I mean, go down that list. So, yeah, I this is as good a defense as I think San Francisco's ever had. And it's got a chance to be the best. And to me, I mean, I made a comment on Twitter about a week or so ago. Somebody was saying, well, is it the 94 defense or the 12 or is it this one? And I was like, well, you might want to look back at 84, at that roster, the 84 defense that beat Marino. I think you're on the right track. If you win a Super Bowl, that's the best way to qualify yourself. Because if you don't win a championship, you don't qualify as the greatest in anything.
Yeah, and that 84 team, obviously, what, 15-1 you guys were in 84 and then beat Marino in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I got to ask you about Christian McCaffrey. He 8 starts, they're 8-0. I mean, just how much and in what ways has he changed everything for the 49ers offense? Because now it really does seem like they had weapons everywhere, but he seemingly has helped unlock all of the weapons by being maybe the number one weapon.
Yeah, it's kind of a... And it wasn't cheap. It wasn't, you know, they didn't exactly give him away. But even though he makes that offense so much better. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of like NFL grand larceny. The fact that you can get him away from Carolina. But, you know, you dream about being able to make those kind of trades. You dream about being able to do those things. If you look at some of the great Niner teams, or the five that did win championships, that's a pretty consistent theme on all those teams, is getting guys from other teams and adding them, you know, whether it was the guys who got from San Diego or whoever. That's pretty consistent. And for Lynch to pull that off, you can't say enough good things about being able to do that, because McCaffrey's fun. He's just, every time he runs with the ball, he's going to go to the end zone. It's crazy the way this kid plays. He is an offensive version of Bosa in that he is going completely 100% every time the ball snapped.
Randy, great stuff. We really appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again soon, man. Tremendous insight on everything. We really appreciate it.
No problem, anytime.
All right, Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good conversation with a Niner legend, 3-time champion, going back to the Joe Montana days here, but still obviously in tune with what's going on. Longtime analyst as well.
I mean, just the Niners, he said it himself, the McCaffrey, the Bosa of the offense. I mean, just somebody who just pedaled to the metal every single play, and you just can't take a break, JD, and go into the Raiders and headed off to Vegas. The Raiders, man, I'm curious, JD. We got to talk about over-under. How many business decisions are going to be made by Raiders players on Sunday that just don't want to deal with it? What are we actually doing here, man?
It is a key question coming into this one, honestly. I mean, with all the noise and everything going on with the Raiders, mm-hmm. relating it back to the Niners is how do they stay locked in?
Yeah.
And it really is the question, I think, for the last 2 weeks, because Arizona's in, I think, even greater shambles than the Raiders are, for as much as we've kind of talked about the Raiders situation a little bit these last couple of days. And then the stadium's supposed to be, you know, what, 60-40 Niners? And we'll see. It's still a tough ticket to get, by the way. I was surprised. I thought the prices would go down a little
drop,
bit,
man.
But we're still talking in the $600 to $700 range for tickets to that bad boy.
Talk about grand larceny. Come on, Vegas, grow up.
That's pretty crazy when you think about it. But yeah, it comes down to, you know, are the Raiders going to have a fight? I'm not saying the Raiders can't win the game or show fight, or maybe there's a letdown for the 49ers, you know, just based on the fact that it's locked up, it's on the road. You know, 2 versus 3 is not, it's not a tangible goal because they don't fully control it at that point, their own destiny. Now, maybe if Minnesota ends up losing to Green Bay, there's a little bit of action there. I think both those games are late games, though, so you're not going to necessarily know. So you got to go out and play hard and let the chips fall where they may. I think this is a good test for what Kyle Shanahan has said with respect to you don't stop playing football. So we'll see if he, and maybe that's why Debo's back on the practice field and might play this week.
Right.
You know, McCaffrey, even though limited yesterday, could you know, still get some carries. I'm interested to see how the Niners navigate, as we talked about with Randy, keeping their edge while also protecting their players here to where you don't lose somebody critical for a playoff run.
Over under 15 carries for Christian McCaffrey.
I would think under, but
it should be under.
But we'll see. Again, technically the Niners are still playing for something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about a couple days ago the adversity component for Brock Purdy. If you're going to see some adversity, I think this is probably the week you'd want to see it, to be honest. Like,
right.
You know, maybe the Raiders do get on a heater and get up 10-0 or 14-0.
Maybe Jared Stidham is that guy. Maybe.
We'll see.
Probably not.
We'll see.
And by the way, I mean, talk about, oh, we want to evaluate Jared Stidham, and the Raiders have the Niners and the Chiefs.
You,
I mean,
got a little Raider. Let's get it off your chest.
No, I don't.
Get it off your chest. Whatever it is. I feel like it's just percolating there beneath the surface.
No, I mean, all I'll say is this. It's a brutal situation. People have had some ridiculous takes about this. I saw one. I had to quote tweet it. I saw one that said Matt Ryan went through what he went through with the Colts, and he's still there for his guys. And Derek Carr can't even sit with his guys for 2 weeks. Do people read?
Yeah, it's not on Derek Carr.
No, do people read?
It's everybody else that you're worried about.
Exactly. I mean, look, Derek Carr. Say what you want about Derek Carr. I think he's above average. He's just not him.
Are they doing him wrong, though? Even if he's not him, are they kind of doing him wrong? Is it disrespectful?
At this point, I mean, I guess financially, you know, you could kind of liken it, JD, taking it back to the Niners. It's a different situation, but how people felt that the Niners did Jimmy wrong this summer.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? I would say that.
Let him go. Let him find his job.
You held on to him. You tried to get something for him. In the Derek Carr situation, hey, we don't want him to get injured or anything like that, because then we're going to be on the hook for this money. As long as they're working with him behind the scenes to make sure he gets to Indianapolis as quickly as possible, because that's where he's probably going. I hope I don't know. Everybody's calling Indianapolis like the Arizona, you know, the retirement home for QB. So I don't know that I want him to go to Indianapolis. I wish nothing but the best for Derek Carr. I did think he, you know, said some things that rub people the wrong way. He could be corny at times, but I do think he had the best intentions. And I think he did bleed silver and black, but ultimately it was just time for the two sides to move on. But anybody trying to compare Derek Carr to Jimmy G or Matt Ryan or any of these other situations, just stop it. You want to get clicks. You want to get your whatever's up. Just stop it. You shouldn't even believe what you're saying, because Derek Carr, he did give everything that he had for that organization for nearly 10 years. So miss me with that. That's all I had. Thank you, JD, for letting me get.
Yeah, I mean, he has been a polarizing figure in the NFL.
He was the Jimmy G for the Raiders, right? Half the fan base thought he was trash. The other fan base thought he was Jesus, and in the end, he was neither.
And it's time. I mean, I think it makes sense. Like, I know it was debated a few different times. Is it time or is it not time? I mean, I think it's pretty clearly time with this. I think Charles Woodson probably said it the best. You always have to impress the new regime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took a little while for him to get used to the prior regime with with Gruden,
right?
It was like he didn't play great initially, and then he progressively got better, I think, as the years went on. But now it's a new story again. And if anything, you know, Derek has kind of shown he needs a couple years with each system. He's had a bunch of different systems,
right,
to get it together.
And you know, I saw this thing. I think I'm the king of two things can be true, JD. You know this. I think that Derek Carr could have played better in certain spots. He also never had a defense that was better than number 20. He never even had a top 20 defense.
And he is unique in the sense that there were years where statistically he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there were also years where statistically he was pretty mediocre. It just kind of depended on the year. He lived, I think, with the Raiders, a very unique quarterback existence. Not much success, never won a playoff game or anything like that. Got him to the playoffs a couple of times.
Very interesting career, I'd say. And that's kind of ran.
You thought he was done, and then they brought him back.
Right.
And in a different...
At this point, you know, it would have been nice for him to just finish out the career. Finish out his time with the Raiders. I also heard that Josh Jacobs spoke out and said, yeah, we were in a team meeting and he wasn't there, so we figured something was up. So the way they handled it internally didn't seem to be great.
Yikes.
You know, they didn't even know what was happening. Look, I'm saying all nice things about Derek Carr, JD, because I don't know if you know this, but Derek Carr's brothers, they will find you on Twitter. They came after Damian Lillard, and Damian Lillard didn't even say anything bad. So I don't want any Carr brothers in my mention. So Derek Carr, thank you for your service.
Quick text from the 650 from earlier. JD, what's the word on your flight to Vegas? Going to be in Vegas for New Year's Eve and covering the game on Sunday. You going to make it there on time? I did get an email update prior to the show from Southwest. Yeah, I'm going Southwest. We all know about the troubles that they've had. Well, they said, and I'll try to get to the crux of it here. We expect, there's a quote here, we want to provide you with an update regarding your trip. Quote, we expect to resume a full schedule of flights with minimal disruptions on your day of travel. And then they say, you know, keep checking and everything, whatever. But I feel like that's a good sign.
That's
a positive sign.
It's as positive as they're going to get.
Here's what I need to know. Mm-hmm. Here's what I need to know. I mean this. I'll make you a deal right now.
Okay.
Like, straight up. If you're going to cancel it,
mm-hmm.
let me know in time to where I can drive.
Right.
Because I'll drive.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be, I go to the airport and I'm hoping to fly at 5:30 Saturday and it's like, we don't know. It's going to be 7, 8, 9. Oh, sorry, canceled.
Right.
At 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve. Like, you can't, don't do that. Like, if it's going to get canceled, I want to know Saturday morning. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do Warriors this week, and it's going to be over at 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get in the car, and we're going to drive to Vegas.
Yeah.
And get there by New Year's, and enjoy New Year's, and cover the game on Sunday, and drive back in time to be here at 2 o'clock with Larry Kruger, and do the show from 2 to 6.
There you go.
Let me know in time, South. That's the only thing I ask.
I don't know that they're going to,
cancel.
Though. I don't know if they're going to.
All right. 2 hours down, 2 hours to come. A little mini rant there. Just do me right. Not like the Raiders and Derek Carr. All right. We'll be back. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches?
Ah,
Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.